welcome to the Dellingpole, me James Dellingpole. And I know I always say it's about this big special guest, but actually, this is very exciting. This is James and Laura Chinwack. I mean, Laura.
Yes.
Laura, people have been clamouring.
Yes. Aching.
Laura, tell us, explain why you haven't been doing any podcasts.
Well, yes, I've produced an entire child since I think we spoke last. So I'm just trying to think if there's a slight echo. No, I'm okay. Can you hear me? You can hear and see me okay, yeah?
It's going to be, it's going to be slightly crap because I'm not in niches, but I'm hoping that it will work. And if it doesn't, well, you know, we tried. Anyway. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry, that was my fault. I was checking my Wi-Fi wasn't going through my phone. I think I'll just get rid of that phone, actually. Yeah, Perrin's number four has landed, and I can't remember how long it's been. And you know the way it is. It's just a bit mental. But he kind of naps a bit now, so I thought we could get one in. During nap time, he is actually asleep up there, which is a miracle, because obviously if you schedule something, usually they decide to mess it up, but he is dreaming.
I was going to say, not that it was an option, not that it is an option, but I think you've put me off having any small children. I think I'm happy to be past that stage of my life.
I know.
Sleep deprivation and stuff like that.
Yeah, when people
but
are
they
done,
smell
they
nice, don't they?
Done. The thing is, then when you pick them up, it does make it all worthwhile. They are just, very super, super cute as well. He's a big chunky monkey. But just, you know, if you don't think about the sleep deprivation too much, then I feel, just don't think about it. Just power on.
No, exactly. Well, so can you remember when we last did a podcast?
I can't. I genuinely cannot. I mean, I was expecting. I must have been maybe 7 months, maybe 6 months. Yeah, well, over the summer. I think maybe we were coming out of all this silly lockdown thing. Definitely quite a while.
Because lots of people said at the time of when we were doing a regular.
Yes.
Was saying that it was a lifesaver, that this was the conversation that they wanted to hear, because it made them realize that they're not the only person in the world feeling like the world has gone mad and nobody around them seems to understand what's going on. And so well done for
there were a few people that were also said enough. So those people don't need to listen to us, of course. That is the beauty of an off button.
What you mean? Oh, but people didn't like us.
Well, there were one or two that were like, we don't need to hear from her again, James. Can you just move on?
Oh, right.
They were.
Do you know, amazingly, there are some people out there who don't like me.
That is shocking.
I've just noticed this recently. Did you see the story in today? Well, you wouldn't have read it, but in today's Guardian, today at the time of recording, there was a story about how it was my son who leaked, who took the third of Keir Starmer, result in the deposition of the leader of the Labour Party.
I didn't know that. They've dragged you into that, have they?
Well, I kept it quiet because I didn't. I don't like my children being exposed to the horrible world.
But it was actually him, wasn't it? Because he's in Durham. Yeah.
Oh, it was him. No, it genuinely was him. But I wasn't gonna boast about it on social media or anything. But it's quite interesting reading the comments from the Guardian Easters below the.
I might have to do that.
Twitter, and there's things that there's tweets on the line like, oh my God, James Dellingpole has bred. I pity the poor child.
They're very unoriginal.
And the other ones are that, this is exactly the kind of behaviour I would accept from the evil spawn of Dellingpole. Mm. And then there are various way to put it. And in this occasion, they genuinely are conspiracy theorists, because it is very interesting when you know actual details of the story in every last respect, and you know that the elaborate theories they're coming up with about, you know, he can't have just been walking past, it has to be a setup. Yeah, and they're looking for more devious explanations than the it was just a coincidence, he happened to be walking past, which is the truth, by the way. I mean, it was amazing. You could argue that it was kind of heaven sent, which I think it kind of was, but it definitely was a coincidence. There was no kind of planning from Conservative Central Office or anything.
Yeah, but it also, even who cares? I mean, it would have meant that your son was staking out Labour HQ, knowing that they were going to breach the lockdown rules. I mean, even if that was the case, I'd be like, so what? I mean, I don't think Keir Starmer set himself up. Anyway, the whole story is BS. I haven't taken much notice of either of them, I'm afraid, to be honest. I mean, they do matter in the you know, you inflicted this much misery on us, take the pain, which they are taking. So I know I kind of should care more than I do, but they're also bigger issues now. And it's that whole thing, right, about the media saying, issues. You know, Aunt Bobby, her granny died without anybody holding her hand while you ate cake or had curry or whatever. Shame on you. And you're like, no, you should have actually been against the rules anyway. Right. I mean, I think I did a whole blog on this. The evil was that the rules existed, not that these fools broke them. You know, that's the point.
Absolutely. And on a sort of lower level of infamy, okay, so it was particularly egregious when the politicians like Keir Starmer, who voted for these absurd and wrong regulations, and who actually whipped his party into voting for them. I mean, they're obviously the top of they're higher up the list of evildoers.
Yeah.
But the ordinary people of this country who acquiesced. Yeah, I mean, if people had risen up and say, no, I'm not going to let grandma die alone and unvisited and in the care home, I'm not going to let them say, you cannot go and see your sick mother. People should have just said, hang on a second, what is going on here? All the qualities that make us human, legislated by a government which hates us.
Yeah, no, exactly. I did that. That's what annoyed me. And we did absolutely right about it, in that you, ordinary person going along with the rules, were also to blame. You know, I mean, it's difficult because you are against the system or whatever. But people did acquiesce far too quickly. We said that all along. And I remember reading a piece, you know, in the Times, I read it so you don't have to, where a vicar said he felt a little bit guilty looking back now and all of this coming out. He felt a little bit guilty, you know, when he shushed the widow who was singing quietly alongside her husband's coffin. You know, because the singing could have caused COVID. So he shushed her and he didn't let her do that. And I'm thinking, no, vicar, you should always have felt guilty about that. Irrelevant of what Boris Johnson did or what Keir Starmer did. You, that very act of you shushing this poor widow who wanted to sing to her dead husband as he lay beside her in his casket, you shushing her was an act of evil, not the greatest evil ever known to mankind. But it was an act of evil and you should never have done it. Irrelevant of what the rule said. So that's the key point.
And wouldn't you have said that, I mean, vicars, they've really got one job, haven't they? It's about these are the facets of the main job, which is bringing people closer to God, or acting as a kind of intermediary between people and the divine, and completely failing in this respect. I mean, so many churches have failed. There was one in I think in North Kensington. I managed to track down a high church Anglican vicar, but I got the impression who kept his church open, so, saying like, this is our job.
Yes.
But so many vicars I mean, and same with the Catholic Church. I mean, every church, I think, pretty much failed. Yes. I think that the only ones that worked were things like the Latin Rites.
Catholic Church.
They're really based, aren't they?
Yeah, they will have just, yeah, they're the hardcore.
A friend who is not a Catholic but is a sort of believing Christian said she was very, very tempted to go to the Birmingham Oratory,
okay,
where they do a really good Latin mass service, and the talk is it would be like listening to a James and Laura Chinwag. That's the kind of conversation. They are absolutely hardcore, and of course it's the thing that your Pope wants to stop, the Latin mass,
that's probably a whole other podcast, because I don't go myself. I have friends in Ireland who do, and the Pope is trying to shut down, at least pause, a lot of the Latin masses. But I think obviously a basic thing is to comfort the grieving, not to give out to them, because Boris told you to comfort the bereaved. Yeah. Boris told me that you can't sing 85-year-old widow. You're like, you didn't ever have to do that. No one was standing over him to do that. He just did it because that was the right thing to do. Right. That was what the worthy virtue signaling thing was to do. So now he feels a bit guilty about it. So I don't really have a lot of time for, I suffered greatly during the lockdown because I abided by the rules. When we'd been saying from the beginning, you should have put up at least some resistance, and the fact that you went along with it just made it worse and prolonged it and made the agony for other people a lot worse. Speaking of masses, they're still wearing masks in my mass, which is really irritating. And actually, I wrote a whole blog on it in Catholic Herald for people who want to read that, because it annoys me that they're around the kids. Keep your fear to yourself, please.
Yes, quite.
Yeah. So
can you take communion yet?
Yeah.
You got communion wine?
No.
You get to drink out of the...
No. Just, yeah. So, it's kind of sad in a way because they're very nice to the kids. And, they come up to the baby, but they're smiling at my baby with their face mask on. And I'm just like, it annoys me. I said this when we were doing all the podcasts during the lockdown. I was like, I see mothers out there wearing face masks, while pushing their babies in their pram, and you're just like, what's wrong with you? Your child will not be able to speak. And lo and behold, officially, the reports are coming out. Yeah, children's speech and language is really behind now. Yeah, what did you expect? Kids have been seeing people in masks for 2 years. Shocker.
If you wanted to be of a conspiratorial bent, you might say that they are actually trying to create a generation ready to become digital slaves, ready to own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
They're going to sit at home, moronically, sort of digesting whatever entertainment, Netflix, and online is being brainwashed by Big Bird, who's in bed with the World Economic Forum. And I mean, that's there's gonna be it is gonna be like Brave New World, isn't it, where the people who aren't born out of test tubes and aren't alphas or whatever are going to be living in this sort of wild zone outside the cities. I mean Aldous Huxley I think was pretty bang on in his predictions.
Well, I mean, it's certainly set a lot of bad precedents, and you just see it from the left-wing press now. It's just trickling out. I saw a long piece in The Atlantic, which was very left-wing, and the New York Times. And the way they word it is so funny. It is still very softy, like, although effective for, children with really significant speech impediments, the face masks have been difficult to discuss. And all this
difficult
stuff, and then they have some poor parent who has to, do the whole apology for the first paragraph. Now, we're not saying that we're like against COVID, against face masks or against the vaccines or anything. But, my child that has a child that literally took 2 years to be able to say two words because his speech was so impeded has now gone back to square one because of the face mask rules. Now, this is in the United States, where the rules were completely, like, in the blue states were obviously terrible absolutely terrible, putting like 3-year-olds in face masks and playgrounds and all this stuff. But yeah, it's just trickling a little bit out from the left-wing press, but still with major, you know, apologies and you know, don't put us in there with the crazy lockdown people, even though we predicted exactly what would happen.
But this, hang on, I was going to let the dog in, wait then.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, it was scratching at the door. So
yeah.
I was what this has been predicted by I mean, there are lots of podcasts I listen to, people on our side of the argument. One of my favorites is Cliff High, who's probably a bit out there for you, but Cliff has predicted some time ago, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious, that the mainstream media would render itself increasingly irrelevant in the course of this fake crisis by not telling the truth, by acting merely as a kind of mouthpiece for the predator class, the powers that be, whatever you want to call them. And what's happening now is a sort of damage limitation exercise whereby they are trickling out just enough information to, you know, like, please, you know, we are writing about this stuff, look, see, here's a story about that these vaccines, these safe and effective vaccines, may, in very rare occasions, they may cause cardiac problems with children, and they may cause this, and they're finally trickling it out. But it's, I mean, we've known about this all the time. It's not like we're kind of information gurus.
No, exactly. And I mean, it is. So the big thing that leads on to is obviously people who have died from the vaccine, like officially, not even, you know, where the coroner has said, yes, this is AstraZeneca, has killed your husband of 36. So this brings me on. The only person now who's had these poor bereaved family members on the TV is Mark Stein at GB News. Have you been watching him?
Mark Stein has been brilliant. Mark Good. Stein, he's come from behind, because I don't remember in the earlier on in the crisis, he wasn't really there, I don't think. But he's just amazing.
So I have to say, this is where I do my big, I'm a huge fan of Mark Stein, and I have been for about 5 years. So I know he was considered an establishment journalist, I think, back in the day, but that was before my time.
He was, yeah.
If I'm allowed to say that. So I didn't know who this guy was. I just kind of found him. And, you know, he does loads of on his own website. And he does this Clubland Q&A. So I've been listening to him like for about 5 years and stuff. And you're right in that at the beginning of the lockdown, he wasn't like us. He certainly wasn't like, lock it down. I think he was a bit like, well, we don't really know what this is. Let's see what happens.
But
pretty soon afterwards, he was like, however bad COVID is, this lockdown thing is way worse. Right. So that was always his position. And then he pops up in GB News, and I was like, how? I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe they've actually let him loose. Right. On the mainstream media outlet. So every night for the last few nights, he's had on widows who have lost husbands from the vaccine. He showed like the House of Commons when Sir Christopher Chope MP brought up the issue in the Commons.
Yes.
Because none of them have even been compensated, you know, which is needed if you've lost a breadwinner. And, you know, so he showed the House of Commons completely empty. For when this one MP is actually like, we need to compensate these people quickly. And then he showed the House of Commons packed for, this is Stein now, packed for, of course, Growler Gate. You know, we've got all get in there and talk about the ginger growler. And he's very good. He's the only person, I mean, he's the only person who I know of the mainstream media who's been talking about it. Not even, you know, talk TV, haven't been talking about it. And I remember, because this moves on nicely to the chief collaborator. So the day Mark Stein had on this poor widow, two widows, and one who had two boys, right, a 7-year-old and like a 1-year-old. Can you imagine? Daddy's never coming home ever because he took a vaccine he didn't even need, because he thought he was doing the right thing, right? And he died from it. So Mark Stein has him on the has that poor woman on the TV, and Piers Lock Me Down Harder Morgan is doing a hard hitting interview with Caitlyn Jenner, with Bruce Jenner.
That's that's stunning and brave, actually. Stunning and brave of both Morgan and Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, and you're just like, they're, you know, that just sums it up. You know, Piers Morgan is completely faux, oh, I'm gonna challenge the cancel culture. You're like, oh, you're just so mainstream, it hurts. Let's get out Bruce Jenner and have a chat while some journalist is actually asking the questions that needed to be asked in relation to this vaccine. It sums the whole thing up.
Isn't it great that Morgan's ratings are really tanking? I wonder whether, because it's interesting, isn't it, that so much of people's viewing habits are a product of the size of the channels and their cultural dominance. So I mean, there are people on the BBC, many people, who would never ever have had careers were it not for the fact that the BBC has given them their sinecure. Yeah. I mean, that applies to many deeply unfunny comedians, for example, who just get regular slots, guaranteed promotion at the BBC because they've got the correct politics. But I think one of the few good things to have emerged from this horror is that I think independent voices like Mark Stein might, you know, that they will get audiences because he gets
about 30,000 viewers a night, I'm told, which isn't bad. And considering if you look at the amount of advertising that went into Morgan, right, where you can't pass a bloody bus stop. The only thing that had it basically, no, it was a proportionate amount of advertising as the COVID hysteria got, right? Look Piers Morgan in the eyes and tell him you're not watching his show should be the new ad. Look them in the eyes and tell them you're not eating cake.
The problem with that, it would involve looking at Piers Morgan in the eyes, which I think would be too much for most people.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, a huge, absolutely huge amount of advertising. In fact, they're still advertising it, like huge bits in the Sunday Times. I realise it's the same owner, you know, Murdoch owns all of it. But I mean, Stein is doing pretty well. And look, you know, before the BBC, I doubt anybody, a single outlet, be it local radio, never mind Radio 4, have ever had somebody on saying, you know, my husband died of the vaccine, and by the way, we're not even getting adequately compensated by the system that they have set up that's supposed to compensate us, right? It's just,
well, even though one of their number, Lisa Shaw, was first cases of confirmed vaccine death.
That poor woman.
So you think they might have a care for their own, but they don't. It's all about the narrative. It's all about the agenda. And I mean, look, I'm kind of, I don't know about you, because when we started doing this chinwag, I wasn't nearly as well informed as I am now. I mean, you know, I was not down the rabbit hole. I was not fully up to speed on the background to all this stuff. And I had no idea, for example, about the, you know, having worked in the media, the mainstream media, for most of my career, to realize that the purpose of the mainstream media is really not to inform or even entertain. It's ultimately, primarily, about dispensing propaganda for the elites, for the powers that be. And you know, the BBC might just as well be a branch of the intelligence services, because that's really what it does. It brainwashes the populace. Same goes for Sky and the Economist. I always used to wonder why, in my early days, I used to see journalists plucked from the ranks of the Fleet Street newspapers which I wrote for, and they would get a job on The Economist, and The Economist paid way more than you know for their anonymous articles. And I thought, well, these articles are pretty shitty, and actually when they write about things I know, for example the environment, it's just absolute bullshit. So who buys this magazine, and why does it, and how can they afford to pay the journalists so well? And ultimately, it's not because the magazine is so commercially successful that they can command such, you know, they can pay their staff premium rates. It's because it's a ultimately a Rothschild propaganda organ. You know,
yes,
that's what it is. It's high end propaganda to brainwash the heads of corporations and to give them the illusion that they are informed.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all ideological. I mean, I think the sad thing is how much the entertainment has become completely ideological, you know, now. I mean, I think even 10 years ago, you could say actually they wanted to entertain. You could see sort of conservative ideas seeping through despite their best efforts. But now it's pretty much all ideological Netflix. We just cancelled our Disney subscription for obvious reasons. In fact, I think we were still getting it for free. Can you believe that? Like, you cannot even give me Disney for free. Thanks very much. So we cancel that. But it's all been completely infected. And of course, yeah, the media is there to push a particular narrative. You can see it when they go for these nonsense stories. Again, even when it's a nonsense story against what we would consider our opposition, you know, I'm still not interested, because it just means you're ignoring the massive story. You know, the massive story behind it, such as, you know, vaccine damage or whatever it might be. But, I mean, the thing about the big media is a problem. But on one of my breaks, I did, for what it's worth, I did start reading and watching a lot of stuff in terms of, I don't know, nutritional health. It's linked, though. And just how evil Big Pharma has been for decades. Yeah. And how much nonsense they push on people that they, you know, people don't need. And I know that it's true, because I'm watching doctors, and this has all been on YouTube, say, and this has all been recorded pre-COVID. So, you know, I won't even mention their names, because I wouldn't want them sort of saying, but it's obviously pre-COVID. There's nothing sort of political about it. But basically, I'm told that all the money in pharma now is in, I have to get this right, is in like chronic illnesses. So not acute, you know, long-term illnesses, not like you've been in a car crash, I now need to save you. That medicine is tiny. Now it's all about managing long-term, you know.
Which they've created themselves through childhood vaccination and with the help of the food industry.
Yeah, the food which industry is completely evil.
Exactly the wrong thing. Sort of carbohydrates and sugars. Yeah. And refined foodstuffs, which without any nutrition in them.
Yes.
And this creates the chronic disease that Big Pharma then is curing. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's a racket.
It's a complete racket. So after this whole vaccine thing, I kind of said to myself, you know, because I always like to try and be consistent, and I made up my mind. I said to myself, look, Laura, if at all possible, I actually have a thyroid issue, so I have to take something for that. But I said to myself, if at all possible, you don't want to be reliant on Big Pharma, you know, as you get older, as much as possible. You know, supposedly now, you know, like the 70% of sort of over 60 take five pills a day, right? Minimum. So it's a massive racket. So I've tried to get, you know, stricter on the diet, as you say. You know, they put sugar in absolutely everything. I have a sweet tooth. All this pushing, all this carbohydrates. The government and their ridiculous food pyramid. You know, they've pushed you to, long before the COVID thing, they'd already pushed you to make bad decisions in terms of, let's have a big bowl, let's have a kilo of pasta and finish it off with some, you know, sugary drink. They've already made that problem. And the diabetes, inflammation, the whole thing is through the roof. And then big pharma come in conveniently to help you. And it's something, for instance, that, you know, is little known and also applied to the COVID thing. Is this like number needed to treat thing? Do you know of this?
No, tell me.
So they did this with COVID as well. But so say you have statins, okay? Now, viewer, first of all, I'm obviously not giving medical advice. Big disclaimer. And two, I'm not 100% sure of these statistics, but it's out there and please Google it. But say you've got statins. To stop one heart attack, you need a number needed to treat. So you need to say 100 people need to take statins for something like 5 years for you to stop one heart attack. Yeah. But the link as well is, and it becomes very clear with the when you're giving this vaccine to kids, that even the government will say, you need to give out something like 1 million vaccines to children to stop one ICU admission. And and then the other number you need to be careful with COVID was the absolute risk, you know, and the relative risk. So when they were saying this is effective in say stopping death, you have to know what you know, the risk, as we know, the risk to an 80-year-old with an underlying problem is completely different to the risk to a 40-year-old, right, without any health problems. But they bunched it all together. You have to be very careful about absolute risk and relative. Your relative risk, you know, our relative risk for dying from COVID, minuscule, absolutely minuscule. But they were using a different figure, you know, an absolute figure. It will save so many lives. So all I want to say is, I mean, I'm not a statistician, although Jamie Stats, who's on Twitter and people should follow, is a statistician. You have to be so careful with statistics in relation to what Big Pharma tell you. You have this with vaccine, with any vaccines at all. You know, you have to give them to 5,000 people to stop one death. You know, this is just, so basically the whole thing to me is a racket. And also from a Catholic point of view is a lot of the new vaccines, and I'm not going to name them, but again, it would need to be researched and some people won't care. But for me, I care. A lot of them are abortion tainted. So it just, again, it's just a big motivator to say, you don't want to be relying on Big Pharma. We've seen what they can do. They do a tiny bit of good work, right? There are obviously some medicines that are
like where?
Well, there must be. The big breakthroughs have already been done.
I don't trust them in. Yeah, I think the only medical treatment I think is well is when you break bones and they go and mend your bones or when I don't know. I mean. I certainly wouldn't go for. There was a few years ago, the BBC did a hit job on me with a really, really dodgy character. You realise how many dodgy characters in the world there are who were overpromoted. And one of this guy, Sir Paul Nurse, who was Rockefeller Institute, chairman of the Royal president of the Royal Society, absolute shill for all these dubious, extremely dubious interests. And he was trying to pin me down about climate change. And he said, so if a beloved relative of yours was suffering from cancer, would you seek out the conventional treatment or would you look for alternative remedies? At the time, I wasn't down the rabbit hole and I would probably have thought to myself, well, obviously you'd go and see an oncologist and you'd do what they say. No way now. I mean, G. Edward Griffin wrote a book about this a while back.
Yeah.
About the truth about cancer. Cancer is just one example of those diseases which has been exploited by Big Pharma to keep people kind of just about alive, having these mega expensive treatments which don't actually work. There are much more effective treatments out there which are being suppressed. Things like vitamin B17.
Okay. Well,
which I think you find it in apricot kernels. And anyway, look, it's another rabbit hole, but it's worth looking into. The Big Pharma has been evil for a very, very long time, as has the food industry. I mean, you think about Kellogg and the Seventh Day Adventists, you know, who turned us all on to eating these unhealthy, sugary.
I banned those from the house, as I said, post crazy, you know, losing the baby weight. I said to the husband, I said, if you bring in another box of cornflakes into this house, I'm going to put it in the bin. So the main thing is get your diet in order. And I have to say that viewers probably aren't expecting this, but again, this cost of living crisis now, it's like they almost want to kill us because, you know, you're hearing them now. You're hearing everybody saying we're cutting back on meat, right? God knows that they're going to substitute for it. And people are going to start buying very low quality food. And I'm telling you, I'm going to try and keep, you know, until I absolutely get desperate, I'd rather cut back on other stuff, but I don't want to compromise on like the actual meat that I am feeding my children and myself. And again, when you're weaning the baby, it really focuses the mind. You know, you have this perfect baby who hasn't had any food at all, and you're just, you know, you're just breastfeeding it, and then you actually have to give it food, you have to pollute its body. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to try and make it as high standard as I can. So I used to be very cynical about the whole organic, free range, grass fed stuff. But now that's what I'll try and get if possible. The kids keep taking out the organic milk from the fridge and they're like, what's this? It's the wrong color. And I'm like, no, this is the right color. The previous stuff we've been drinking, that is not supposed to look like that. This is the right stuff. So, yeah, it just prompted all that. But, while I was doing all that research and I kind of like to immerse myself in the subject, again, this stuff about big pharma, again, from these people who are completely, they're just doctors and nutritionalists and holistic people, nothing political, give you examples of how these statistics are manipulated, how, you know, our health, both healthcare in the United States and the UK is going to collapse essentially under the burden of bad food. And then big pharma coming in and allegedly, you know, curing your illness that you've given yourself from eating crappy food and cornflakes. Throw your cornflakes out. Throw them out.
Oh, yeah. No, you said it's almost as if they're trying to kill us. I mean, there's no almost to match it.
I know, you're hard. I know. Yeah.
But Bill Cooper, I think it's Bill Cooper who writes about this in his Behold a Pale Horse. And he says that after the war, in the baby boom, the elites started panicking because they're all Malthusians. They all believe that the earth is exceeding its current capacity.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of that.
We need to be reduced, which of course is absolutely it's not at all founded. This the planet could maintain many more of us in comfort, but they began to panic, and that was when everyone was breeding. You know, the war was over. Mm. The war that they themselves started, by the way, as they started the First World War, as they started the Russian Revolution, as they started the French Revolution. You know, I mean, war is good for the elites, and they back both sides. It's how they make their money. And of course, wars are also good at culling the populace, which is another thing they like doing. But it's, so after the Second World War, they at organizations like, I don't know whether Bilderberg existed then, but similar organizations, the Committee of 300, the Council on Foreign Relations, et cetera, et cetera, all these sort of shadowy organizations where the incredibly rich meet to parcel up the world in their interests, they started making plans for depopulation. I mean, I say these people have got the Rolexes, they've got the time. They plan over decades, if not centuries. Well, we're looking to what's happening next week. They're planning long term. They don't care because their next generation is going to have the money, and the one after that's going to have the money. So they don't need to worry about things like that. They worry about reshaping the world. And so this has been a long time in the planning. And you think about it. You think about all those years we spent, I mean, the days when we read the Daily Mail, because maybe our mothers read it or whatever, or articles of red meat gives you cancer. Red meat does not give you cancer. It's an absolute lie. This is made up shit designed to steer us away from the very thing that is really healthy.
Yeah. Well, grass fed red meat is fine. If they've been eating the grain, you need to be careful of that. But no, I know. And there's always a massive manipulation in relation to all of those meat statistics, in that, you know, it'll triple your or double your rate for cancer. And you're like, yeah, but again, if your actual cancer risk is 0.1% and it's doubled, it's still a tiny percentage.
Yeah.
You know, you're still, it's anyway. I know I could go on. Skipping breakfast, of course, is another new favorite of mine. Just skip it altogether. You're not going to die. Just go straight through to lunch.
Oh, fasting.
Yeah, I like the intermittent fasting.
It's called something fasting.
Intermittent fasting. Yeah. It's good. Focus, and it definitely improves your concentration. Yeah,
I've heard that. I couldn't quite. I'm not ready to go there yet. But I tell you what, my sister, is on a 3 month meat only diet.
Ooh.
Just meat. No, wait. she has unfortunately also you have to cut out caffeine and stuff, but and booze obviously.
Yeah,
no, it's hard, but she feels fantastic. She's lost loads of weight. She's feeling great. She's got energy like she's never had before. And this is so counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive because of all the brainwashing we've had over our lives. We've been told, oh yes, vegetarianism is the way to go. Oh, it's less inflammatory. Oh, vegan, ideally. Yeah. Veganism is a perversion.
But also the vegan thing is, look, I think you can do a vegetarian diet well. I think you'd struggle to do a vegan diet well. But again, if you notice, all the vegan stuff coming out now is all processed. And if it's processed, it's bad. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's using loads of sunflower oil, it's inflammatory. So there's no, I don't care if it doesn't have any meat in it. It's still bad for you. I mean, good for her. The thing is, I think if you're cutting out simple carbs and simple sugar, you're doing well. And she's obviously cut out all of that. But it's hard not to have any carbs at all. I mean, that is willpower.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, I'm about to do this because we're conducting an experiment in this household to see whether it will reduce our arthritis.
Arthritis is inflammatory, right? So you need to
exactly. So I'm thinking. I mean, in some ways, I think maybe we should be eating whatever's going to kill us most quickly, because actually I'm not sure that what's coming is going to be much fun. I mean,
that's what they want. Yeah.
I said almost. I mean, obviously, the fact that I'm going through an anti-arthritic diet is a sign that I'm not planning on.
Yes. But going to prolong the pain.
I think you'll probably agree with me that the plans that they have got for us ain't pretty. And
I'm not quite as conspiratorial in that. I've said to myself, I'm not getting into the prediction game. They're doing what I know for sure, and I see reported even the mainstream media is bad enough, you know. Yeah. So I will criticize that, and I leave it to people like you and others to do the predictions. And you have to, if you're, you know, you have to predict if you're. And I mean, yeah, I look, who knows? They're also, even their incompetence enough is damaging enough, right? Just how unbelievably incompetent they are. And I mean, to see all, I saw, see Malt Kithouse, I think, was on Sky. And again, the mainstream media are such collaborators, you know, they're there. If you're talking about great plans and, oh, we're so bad, we're so sorry about the cost of living crisis, and I know the inflation is really bad, and we're going to do something about it. And I'm like, really, you're going to get in your time machine and go back in time and not print all the money you used to bribe people to go along with your lockdown? Yeah. Is that what you're
going to
do?
And what? Oh, right. So you're going to cancel HS2, which is completely unnecessary and is ravaging the countryside. You're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to abandon this net zero policy.
The net zero garbage. I was on Mark Stein talking about that last night, James. I'm telling you, it's very good. You should watch it. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? That even though the arguments against the green nonsense are absolutely compelling, there is no, the climate change is not a problem. The ice caps aren't melting in any way we need to worry about. The polar bears aren't dying. Every single environmentalist disaster claim in the litany is a lie, a grotesque exaggeration. And yet still, they are lying to us relentlessly that it is a problem and that we've got to deal with it urgently. And look, here's the policy, and it carries on as normal, even though nobody can afford to heat their increasingly can't afford to heat their homes anymore.
Mm.
And still, we're going for this expensive, pointless energy. That's when you realise that there is. It's when I stop writing articles demonstrating that global warming isn't a problem and demonstrating that the methods used, like wind turbines, are worse than the problem that they're purporting to solve. Because I realise that these decisions are being made at a level
so far
above the government. Yeah. So
yeah, no, that I do.
What you see, pantomime.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I mean, it would need people on people really on the streets for that, which you may eventually get, because, you know, if people can't heat their home next winter, things could be very, very bad. But I mean, I did this yesterday. I wrote about this on the website yesterday, and I spoke about it on Mark Stein. And I'm like, you know, isn't it amazing how everything that Greta Thunberg, Saint Greta, wanted us to do is actually happening, or not to do is happening? So you can't afford to fill up your car, your diesel or petrol car anymore, right? Oh, it didn't they all tell us for the last 5 years they didn't want you driving? So how can they, and no journalist ever actually says this to them on the TV. It's like Boris Johnson in his 10-point green plan said, you know, as outlawing the purchase of any diesel and petrol car from 2030, right? So why are we surprised now that Christmas has come early for them and the fact that people can't afford to drive their current diesel and petrol cars? You know what I mean? You can no longer afford to eat meat. They have been telling you for 10 years to stop eating meat. Now you can't afford to eat meat. Is this a coincidence? Do you think they're really sorry about this? You know, you can't afford to heat your home. They have been telling you for 10 years that they don't really want you heating your home. Oh, and then the tumble dryer thing, James. That really gets me.
Oh, tell me about that.
Maybe,
about tumble dryers.
You cannot get through a lifestyle piece in the newspapers anymore. Have you not seen it? Oh, the tumble dryers.
I didn't read the papers.
I know. Well, your wife will. The tumble dryers are so expensive. You know, you should stop using the tumble dryers. They're £1.50 a pop. But the thing is, James, is that it takes... Okay, look, when the weather is nice and you have a nice garden, yes, you can put the clothes out. But if you live in a flat, right, in the middle of a British winter and you have three kids, you cannot dry everything all around your flat, right? You have to have the tumble dryer. Otherwise, your flat will get damp and your kids will get seriously ill, right? But they keep telling you, don't use your tumble dryer. I'm like, well, why bother using our washing machine? You know, well, we might as well get ringers out.
Can I just tell you something interesting, Laura?
You know?
So my mother rents out her house to lodgers and things.
Yeah.
And the last tenants, who were lovely in every other respect, when she went to inspect, they were very coy about letting her into the house. They never let her into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went in, she discovered why. And there was black yeah. mold all over the walls. And it was because they'd been drying their clothes in the house, and all yeah. the kind of damp had seeped into this. So she had to spend a fortune redecorating.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, I laugh about it. Also, it's a lot more time consuming. Just so you know, if you've got more than two kids, it actually is a lot more time consuming than just bunging it in the tumble dryer. This is the thing. I'm surprised the feminists aren't getting up in arms, right? Because they'll be telling you, get rid of all your white goods. But the feminists have conveniently forgotten that has liberated, you know, a lot of the pain for women yeah. in terms of domestic chores. So they're coming for your tumble dryer now. They'll be coming for your washing machine next. And then, you know, maybe in a few months' time, it'll be the joy of hand washing your dishes, right? Well, you see, you know, do you need the dishwasher? Yeah. Oh, it's so calming to, you know, wash your dishes by hand. And actually, sure, the water that's left over, sure, just use that for your bath.
It will be that. And also, it'll be, and do you really need soap?
Yeah.
Soap is damaging to the environment. Maybe there are better ways. Maybe get some mud to scrub it.
Yeah. It'll be like they will have us living like we used to kind of 200 years. That'll be fine by Greta. So again, when the politicians say they're really sorry that you can't drive your car, that you can't fly, that you can't afford to eat meat anymore, and heat your home, just look at what they told you 2 years ago. And that was to not do any of that stuff.
So, Laura, obviously, I wish every woman in the country thought as you did, because then, and every man as well, because then our problems would be over, and you know, we'd be marching on with pitchforks on Whitehall and Downing Street, and we'd get rid of these bastards once and for all. But it's not going to happen, because at the moment it's not anyway. Because, for example, okay, so a friend of mine who is on the same page as us, one of her best friends, earlier this year, lost her 19-year-old boy. Guess what he died of?
A blood clot.
Yeah, or
a heart thing,
or heart problems. And the mother I don't think is blaming the vaccine.
No, well, because it's too hard.
It must be one of the side effects of this thing called COVID that everyone's been talking about. And it couldn't possibly be, because the medical, your trusted doctor would never give you a jab that you didn't need that could kill you, would they? I mean, we know that. They wouldn't do it. This is the problem with most people, that they're under the spell. So how do we wake them up?
And also, it would require a lot of self-examination in terms of what you've done and what you've gone along with for the last 2 years to kind of turn this tanker around, right? So, for instance, if your savings are being obliterated by inflation, well, if you did spend the lockdown sunning yourself in your garden while being paid to do nothing instead of on the streets protesting, then that you're partly to blame. And remember, a lot of people aren't big into the self-examination because there's something to watch on Netflix, and that's easier to do that than stay in silence for 30 minutes and really ask yourself, did you go along with these lies? And the media just continue lying to you, lying to your face, or gaslighting you, as I like to say. So it would require a lot of self-examination, again, from people like the vicar. I mean, at least you could say the vicar realised eventually what he did was wrong.
But I'll bet he'd do it again. I'll bet the next lockdown he'd act in the same way.
Perhaps all the clapping on the doorstep was a little bit too kind of gung-ho. And as you say, that we were being had by the whole Captain Tom thing. Looking back on it, it was just a classic.
Oh, the Captain Tom was...
I know, you really get it. I mean, that's why I said it, because I knew you'd go. The daughter, even the daughter thing made it into the mainstream media, how they were handling the charity. Daily Mail finally got around to covering that. You always think, oh, people will admit that they're wrong. No, they don't. Like when the wall came down, there were loads of people in Russia who still thought communism was great, right? You're invested in your position. So to turn around in that, to turn around and go, actually, I'm sorry, I was wrong, or I was had, or I shouldn't have gone along quite with the same amount of enthusiasm as I did. I mean, that, you don't have to be sort of as vocal as we are, perhaps. But the idea that the thing was what they did was, as I always say, proportionate to the threat, was obviously, nonsense. But people locked their kids in their room, locked their 8-year-olds in their room. If they had COVID, because Boris told them to.
What I don't get is why these people didn't understand that it's a bit like there was a common enemy to defeat, and the common enemy was the government and its ridiculous regulations and the branch and its enforcers and the police and so on. So people's sole aim should have been a bit like during Prohibition.
Yeah.
Going down to the speakeasy, and the equivalent of going to the speakeasy would be not locking your 8-year-old in the bedroom despite what the government told you, not wearing masks, which didn't work, going to visit your mother, defying the authorities, and people just didn't.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people also just want to move on from it, and I can understand that in a way, because even looking back at it now, look, obviously some people were less in a much worse position than you and I, say, not having access to gardens and things like that, and would have had a much tougher time day in, day out. But I think it was traumatic for a lot of people, and I definitely think they want to move on, and they just, if they can go on holiday, go on holiday, before the green loons shut it down completely. So I don't want to look back kind of thing. Let's move forward until this whole cost of living thing really begins to really eat into their dreams.
I agree. I think there's a piece in Conservative Woman today, isn't there, precisely this phenomenon where they want to, everyone wants to move on, and the media does, wants to pretend that the last 2 years never happened and there were never these absurd rules, which is why I wanted to mention to you on the podcast, one of the Twitter accounts I follow, at Charlotte Emma UK, who's been doing this brilliant series. You must have seen it. Cool. Oh. And it's got Piers Morgan, Bill Gates, all these TV people.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's got Dr. Shillery, Tony Dr. Blair, Shillery. All these people. All these people shilling for the vaccines, having a go at people who didn't get the plot shot, et cetera, et cetera. And we cannot, you know, we must never forget these people. These people should be made, well, that they are going to burn in hell, that's obvious. But I think they ought to suffer in this lifetime as well, as an example of
what happens when you lie and
endanger people's health.
Yeah, and I wrote a piece, well, I mean, for what it's worth, I wrote a piece against Piers Morgan again, saying how we should, and I actually think his viewing figures have been hit, because people like us could arguably be his natural base, right? And I mean, the left hate him, so they won't watch him anyway. So his natural base are more conservative leaning. But a lot of us are very annoyed about how he went about the lockdown. So I think that's definitely hurt his viewing figures. And Andrew Neil was another one. I mean, he's never going to be let forget that vaccine Resi's Nick piece. I see it a lot. People shouldn't forget. And I think it was one thing to support the lockdown, right? I mean, that I can kind of forgive. And there are certain people who were kind of measured about it. But there were certain people who were lustful, right? And Morgan obviously was absolutely chief and center of that. Certainly. And Dr. Shillery, who were just absolutely bananas, you know, and again, stirring up a lot of hatred against anybody who took an opposite view to them. Those guys, never forget. Never forget.
Yeah.
But actually, on that note, I have to, looking at the time, and I have to go and pick up the kids.
You've got to do baby things, yeah.
Yeah. So that was all good. Throw out your cornflakes and skip breakfast. You don't want any of these chronic diseases. You don't want to have to.
And
big pharma.
And Cocoa Pops.
Ooh. Well, I mean, you know.
I'm afraid.
If anyone's eating those, it's over.
And Weetabix.
It's all of it. It's all of them.
I used to quite like Cocoa Pops. I used to like that chocolate, you know, which is, of course, pure sugar, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, that's
and
the
Frosties.
Point. They get you hooked on it. Yeah. No, have an egg instead. Totally, if you must have breakfast. But, you know, my advice is power through. Power through till 11, if you can.
Okay. Laura, it's been so good having a chin wag with you. I hope you can do another one soon.
Yes.
But I understand you've got, you know, mothering duties, but you're going to delight a lot of people. So people can read your stuff on The Conservative Woman.
Yes, I'm able to write a bit more now, happily, mostly. I might get tired again. You know, it's emotional. I don't know how you keep going, you keep doing it, but, you know.
It's my holy mission.
You put yourself out there. But I did, someone did say, and actually I won't say, and I felt a bit guilty. I just heard it on a podcast, and it's true. And it's like, you know, mightn't feel like doing it, but there is, you do have to share the load in a way, you know. You got to share the load. So, you know, you're doing your thing. So it's not sufficient just to opt out, because then it means you have to do more, or you have to take more of the emotional burden, right? Or whatever other commentators are out there.
Well, we've all got our places. You know, some of us are at the front of the shield wall, and some of us are in the rear. But we've all got our part to play. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. I know I keep saying this, and I think sometimes it falls on deaf ears, and you just think, oh, we love this stuff and it's free anyway. But if you can find your way to supporting me, remember, you can support me on Subscribestar, on Patreon, on Locals, on the other one, Substack, and you can also buy me coffee. And thank you for those who do. You are really, really appreciated, and I love you all. Thank you. And if you don't donate to me, and you do in the future, you will gain my love too. Thank you very much, Laura. Thanks a lot. And happy mum being.
Okay, take it easy, James.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Bye.